Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday, all sorts of drama. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We are live in Los Angeles, the place to be today on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Joy Taylor is joining me on a Tuesday. Well, we've got another LeBron drama story.
What is it? As the Lakers turn.
Let me ask you, when you want to break up with somebody and you don't want to confront them, right? Like it's a difficult breakup. What are the two ways you do it? You either start to pick fights, you start to nitpick fights, create fights and drama so you can escape and say, this just doesn't work for me. Or you get really quiet. The other partner gets really quiet. You're trying to separate. So the story today, Bill Plaschke, very, very tied in to the Lakers. He's an award-winning columnist for the LA Times, been here forever. He said on a radio show yesterday, I'm hearing that if the Lakers whiff on free agency, if they whiff on a trade, okay, they've got big trouble with LeBron. I mean, the LeBron era could be over before it starts here. I heard this for the first time yesterday. Somebody very connected said, you know what, if they whiff, LeBron's going to say either I'm out or get me out of here. Dave McMiniman, very close through the years covering LeBron, backed him up and said basically if it's July 10th in L.A. and they get the guy from Orlando, they have to settle for him as a free agent and it doesn't meet the criterion of bringing a star here. You can imagine what's going to happen here and where this thing is going to go. Okay, first of all, I don't think this is possible. I think it's probable, and I think the ejector seat, it's all lining up. I think this is all lining up. I've told you, I think it's a Jimmy Butler Hail Mary for the Lakers. Ask yourself this. Again, when you're breaking up with somebody, what are the two ways, all you guys or gals listening, you want out of a relationship? You either start picking fights. LeBron's not going to do that. He's not really that kind of, he's never gotten, LeBron doesn't get technicals. He doesn't get in fights. That's not his personality. Or you go like dark 30. You separate. You stop talking. You stop being verbal with your partner. LeBron James has gone quiet for almost 3 to 4 months. You don't see him anywhere in town. You don't see him anywhere with the Lakers. Why? Because this nonsense is bad for his brand. He doesn't know Rob Pelinka, doesn't really know Jeannie Buss. It's bad for his brand. LeBron doesn't want to be known as the guy nobody wants to play with. LeBron's like magic. He's the great communicator. He elevates others. He plays well with others. This is terrible for his brand. And the ejector seat's all lining up here. When Magic bailed on the Lakers, it was the perfect out for LeBron. LeBron can say, hey, Magic bailed on these guys. The heart and soul of the franchise is like, I'm out. I can't leave. This story comes out today. Again, the ejector seat. Philadelphia 76ers are expected to offer Jimmy Butler a max extension. Now, Jimmy Butler's an older player. Jimmy Butler wants his money. Okay, Jimmy Butler likes L.A., but L.A. can't offer him that kind of money. 31-year-old guys who haven't gotten the big contract, ask Paul George, generally take the guaranteed money. Jimmy Butler plays hard. Jimmy Butler could get hurt. That's why I think Toronto still has a chance to get Kawhi. It's $35 million for a guy that gets beat up. Okay, so don't kid yourself on this story. I don't think it's possible. I don't think LeBron ends his career in Los Angeles this year or next. In fact, in my opinion, there's something going on in Los Angeles which is not being discussed on a national level. When the NFL came to town, the Rams, they're building a new stadium, they started stealing market share from the other teams. That's why getting LeBron here was a big deal for the Lakers. The Dodgers are 7 games ahead of the National League. They're the best run organization in town. All they do is win their division every year and get 3-4 million people. So they're stealing market share. And right now, this is the best team they've ever had. This is the best team in baseball, is arguably the Dodgers, the best team they've had. They're 7 games ahead of the National League. Now you've got the Rams in town, building a new stadium. NFL moving some operations out to LA, Super Bowls. Oh, the Chargers. Now you've got LAFC, which is this new, young, hip soccer thing that's a big, hot thing in Los Angeles, downtown in the city. It's catching fire. You've also got the Clippers that share a building with you are now giving the Warriors a real series. So you got market share slowly but surely pulling away from the Lakers. And that's why I believe these Kyrie Irving to the Laker rumors, they're started by the Lakers. They're just trying to stay relevant in this city. Klay Thompson's not coming here. KD's not coming here. Kawhi's not coming here. Kyrie Irving's not coming here. And now Jimmy Butler's not coming here. And you also have a reality with Anthony Davis. We have two people who I trust who have gone public with this. Gail Benson does not want to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers. She hates the Lakers. She owns the Pelicans. Now, I'm not saying they couldn't just massively overpay, give every draft pick, every player to get Anthony Davis. I'm sure LeBron, you know, he didn't want to play with the young guys. He wants a star. But I do not believe LeBron retires as a basketball player. Maybe as a person he retires in LA. I do not think he retires as a basketball player with the Lakers. And the story this morning, Bill Plaschke and Dave McMenamin tied in saying, if they don't land somebody, or if they land a second-tier guy from Orlando, he may just say, I'm out. Get me out of here. Remember I had the LeBronzo-meter? So we had the LeBronzo-meter. We thought LeBron would play with Lonzo Ball, and we kept bringing up the LeBronzo-meter, and you guys gave me flack. It eventually was right. Now we have the LeGonzo-meter. LeBron's going to be gone meter. And right now, I think it's at 50%. I really do. I think it's all lining up. He's distancing himself. Magic retires the perfect out. Jimmy Butler signs a max in Philadelphia. The other guys don't end up here. And Anthony Davis, Pelicans say, we're not doing it. You think LeBron James, who's been head of this league for 15 years, who's one of the great businessmen in the history of the league, you don't think he's thought about this stuff? And for the record, there's all sorts of teams. This could be beneficial for the Lakers, LeBron, and somebody else. Boston's got all sorts of pieces. The Philadelphia 76ers have all sorts of talent. None of it really fits. This could be a win-win-win for everybody. It's a win for LeBron. He can go back to the East and get into the playoffs guaranteed. He can play with better players and more veteran players. And it's potentially a win for the Lakers. They could get an infusion of talent. But I don't think this story is a possible. I think it's a probable. I really do. Let me shift gears now to this. Odell Beckham is reporting to the Browns today. These are mandatory minicamp workouts. He missed 9 of the 10 OTAs in the voluntary. But when he missed those, you know, guys like me are like, that's not great. But remember the business OBJ is in. He's really an NBA player in the NFL. Noise is great for Odell Beckham. It's good for his brand. It made him rich. It sells his shoes. When he doesn't show up for voluntaries, it's a business decision. It got him in the news. What players were we talking about at OTAs? Oh, one, OBJ. If something made you rich and famous, would you stop doing it? Think Beyonce is going to stop singing? The bottom line is, the best business relationships, and this is why OBJ in Cleveland's fascinating, the best business relationships are when your interests, you and me as employees, aligns with the business interests. Tucker Carlson used to be on MSNBC. That did not align. Conservative guy on a liberal network. They broke up. That's why the Beatles broke up. John Lennon was the brooding star, wanted to do serious music, and Paul McCartney's like, I like the pop stuff. It's popular and sells records. Beatles broke up. Here's the reality of OBJ's business. And it's made him rich. It's made him famous. And he's really, I would argue, the only global star in this league. Tom Brady's second, and I think way back. Never forget, Instagram followers, OBJ's got over double Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's second. Is that he bought a Rolls Royce the other day, OBJ. It was orange. Why? It made news. OBJ's in the noise business. Urinating in an end zone, buying an orange Rolls Royce, skipping OTAs. These have made him rich. These sell his shoes. He's seen as independent, pushed back at authority. That's good for his business. Now, we also know the conflict here. Noise is terrible for the NFL business. It unraveled the great Seattle Seahawks apparent dynasty. Joy's from Pittsburgh. They have underachieved now for three straight years.
Yeah.
The New York Giants, Oakland, Philadelphia after the Super Bowl got noisy. Then they cleaned it up and got quiet again. So here's what we know. The best business relationships are when the employees' interests align with the company's interests. Brady's aspirational and wants to win, willing to take pay cuts. New England's aspirational, wants to win, and asks players to take pay cuts. Brady, Patriots, perfect. His interests align with New England's. But OBJ's do not align with any NFL team. And he's gotten rich and famous off his interests, which are make some great plays. He certainly wants to win games, but you don't end up with a supermodel in a hotel room in the sheets because you make great catches. You end up there because you're a global star. That's who he is. And in the NFL, noise is bad. For OBJ, noise isn't good. Noise is great. By the way, if you look at the people that sell shoes, they don't always have the most titles. They have the most discussion and Instagram and followers and talked about and viral. That's what Nike's looking at. They're not looking at his catches. Nike's looking at, man, he's got 14 million Instagram followers. Oh, my God, he moves product. Oh, my God, young kids love him. By the way, Julio Jones, a better receiver. Nobody's buying his shoes, all right? So I think what's fascinating about Cleveland and Odell Beckham is they both have different business interests. I mean, yeah, they both want to win, duh. But winning's not what has made Odell Beckham rich. The Giants didn't win. What made him rich was noise. Skipping OTAs, noise. Orange Rolls Royce, noise. Couple of nice catches with Baker here over the next couple of weeks. Watch him show up on viral media. Watch over the next week. You're going to see, this will make noise, Baker and Odell, he'll have a one-handed catch, and Odell's people won't be about a great play by the Browns. It'll be about Odell making a catch. They put it on the viral stuff. It catches fire. Instagram followers, OMG. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be absolutely fascinating. Can't wait to watch it. Odell Beckham at mandatory mini camp today. It only lasts a couple of days.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
This story this morning, I mean, the Warriors are falling apart. Klay Thompson, MRI confirmed he has a hamstring strain, so he will not be at 100%. I don't know how you play with a bad hamstring in the NBA. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you guard anybody. Now, he's a catch-and-shoot guy. You can throw the ball to him. He can shoot. That won't hurt him. But what is remarkable, Kayvon Looney is also out. Boogie Cousins and Iggy are not at 100%. In fact, Boogie's not out. He's just out of shape. And Kevin Durant will not play. It is remarkable to me that Las Vegas has Golden State as a 6-point favorite tomorrow night. I will take Toronto. They don't play lousy generally in back-to-back games. It's a veteran team. They can't shoot that poorly. Pascal Siakam will play better than he played last game. Lowry was annoying at best last game. I think Toronto will actually play great and take a 2-1 series lead. The Warriors' offense is going to be fine if Klay's hobbling around the court. Listen, they shot 46.5% against the Raptors in four games so far this year. Offense, you know, they'll shoot 46%. They shot about 47% against the rest of the league, so Toronto's defense is better. But you talk about losing flexibility defensively. Iggy's a great defender. He's not healthy. Klay's a great defender. I'm sorry, but a hamstring strain does not go away in 4 days. So And Vegas must know something because they got him as a 6-point favorite. And by the way, it opened at 5.5. It's gone up to 6. And the only thing I can guess on this is that this series, this will be the first game at Oracle since I think like May 12th or May 15th, May 16th. So Oracle's been sitting there for a couple of weeks dying for NBA basketball. So it will be like game one in Toronto. It'll be a madhouse. You saw by game two in Toronto, the crowd wasn't as quiet, wasn't jacked up. But when an NBA team hasn't been home for a while and it's a great NBA team and they need a ton of support because they're all beat up, this is not like they're going in fully ammo, ready to go, locked and loaded. So Vegas, it's amazing to me, it's disrespectful that Kevin Durant's out, Klay won't be close to 100%, Kayvon Looney, who's become a reliable player for them, is out, Boogie and Iggy are hurt, and Golden State is a 6-point favorite. That's incredible. That is just incredible in an NBA Finals. If I'm Toronto, if I'm Nick Nurse, I walk into the whiteboard in the locker room and I just put -6. That's what the league thinks of you. That's what Vegas thinks of you. You're a 6-point dog. That's a shocking number. I'm not going to bet it because earlier this year I saw a number in the NBA. I thought it was the easiest bet of my life. And for 2 weeks after that, my family and I ate Top Ramen if we ate it all. So I'm not betting it. I'm just saying it's disrespectful.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, the 3 and Out podcast, brought to you by Colin Cowherd's Podcast Network. You like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I'm talking football, and more football. Coming up on the show, 18 games in the NFL. That's inevitable. Also talk to my good friend, former NFL GM and former AAF GM on why the AAF fell apart and more NFL topics. Phil Savage, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out podcast.
You and I have both moved a lot.
Yes.
For our careers. And when you move, I always get the yellow sheet of paper, pros and cons. One of the things I always try to remember is nothing is status quo in our business. It's constantly fluid.
Yes.
So I'll give you an example, folks. When I left the other place for Fox Sports, a lot of people are like, crazy! Card's crazy! Man, that's a new network! But one of the things I strongly considered was the emergence of podcasts and the emergence of digital and the growing power of Facebook. I'll give you an example. So when I was at the old place, I got 1.2 million podcast listens a month. But podcasts were on fire, so I knew I wasn't going to disappear. I get 8.5 million a month. So my podcast audience is 7 times bigger at Fox. Digital. I had 27,000, 30,000 people listening a day at the old place, but I knew digital was exploding. I now have 160,000 minimum a day. It's 6 times bigger. Facebook. I knew this company would allow me to use Facebook and monetize it. The old place didn't. I got 331 million views last year on Facebook. Nothing close in the industry. So it wasn't about just coming over here and busting butt and working with people like Joy. The world was changing around me. And it was just not, you're going to be on AM radio signals. I knew as I came over the emergence of podcasting, the power of Facebook, the emergence of digital would ensure that if I just did a quality show that was at least as good as the other one, and I think this one's better, studio's better, guests are better, people around me are better, that it would grow. So my decision was not just based on me. It was based on the world was changing, and I wanted to, and I've always believed this in business. The world gives you waves. Ride them. Make it easy on yourself. When you see a wave coming, grab the surfboard, get on the wave. I live in California here by the beach. I like to go to the pier, get a cup of coffee, and watch surfers. I enjoy that. It's therapeutic for me. Even the best surfer can't do it without a wave. And the waves were rolling when I came over here to Fox. The podcast wave, the digital wave, the Facebook wave, the YouTube channel. They were all exploding. And I thought, well, I'll just do the same show. I'm not going to disappear. Nobody's going to disappear in this business. So the point being is, let me talk about an NFL player. So Adam Humphries was a nice slot receiver, and he chose the Tennessee Titans and Marcus Mariota over Tom Brady. And he came out and he said, the reason I did it is I just didn't know how long Tom Brady would play. Well, first of all, Tom Brady's future is better than Marcus Mariota's, because I don't think Marcus Mariota's going to get into a contract in Tennessee. He's not very good. He's thrown for over 20 touchdowns once in a passing league. He's always hurt. Missed 9 games in 4 years, at least double that, been banged up. He's a nonverbal guy to verbal position. I don't think Marcus Mariota is very good. So Adam Humphries, nice kid, good player, chose mediocrity, Tennessee, over excellence. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, the ownership, the culture, the Super Bowls, the momentum. He just chose it. But what he really didn't think about, much like my career, was the world's changing. 41-year-old quarterbacks are now 36-year-old quarterbacks. Russell Wilson said yesterday, I'm going to play till 45. Drew Brees is 41. Drew Brees, if you notice the last couple years, he's playing at the end of the year. So's old Philip Rivers. So's old Tom Brady. Have you noticed who's around at the end of the year? Old quarterbacks. The world's changing. With all the nutrition, have you ever noticed when you meet somebody's kids, the kids are bigger than the dad? Why? Because they ate better. My son has lived with better nutrition than I have. And I had parents that, you know, we had a nice life. We ate seafood. It was fine, right? But my son's eaten far more quality food. He's got the nutrition that I didn't have an understanding of. And so basically Adam Humphries, good player, nice player, chose Marcus Mariota and the Titans over Tom Brady because his quote was, you know, obviously he's the GOAT, but there's so many things to factor in. How many years does he have left? I don't know. You watched Brady win the Super Bowl last year. Was he better than Jared Goff in the Super Bowl? I mean, he's been in 3 straight Super Bowls. Isn't he the best quarterback every time you watch the Super Bowl? And you're going to choose Marcus Mariota, who's always hurt, who in the last 2 years has 24 touchdowns, 23 picks. I mean, come on. It's funny. There are so few guarantees in professional football. Like in the NBA, we knew the Warriors would be good. I mean, you knew Philadelphia, Boston. You can tell the playoff teams, Toronto, Milwaukee was getting better. You can tell. You knew Houston was going to be a playoff team. You know, Paul George and Russell Westbrook are going to make the playoffs. In the NFL, Adam Humphries had a chance to be part of a guarantee. And he chose Marcus Mariota and the Titans. In fact, to prove my point, I'm going to give you what I believe to be absolute guarantees in the NFL. And here's how few there are. Let's do number one. Patriots win the AFC East. I think that's a guarantee. They're going to get against Sam Darnold second year, Josh Rosen second year, Josh Allen second year. He's going up against babies. I don't even think I'm being a Patriot homer. I think they're going to win the division. If you look at their schedule, if you look at the better teams they play, a lot of them at Foxborough, he's going up against baby quarterbacks and all new systems and all new coordinators. That's number one. Number two, the Redskins will not be great. Okay, the quarterback situation, they're going to play a kid who potentially could be good, Dwayne Haskins, not quite ready. The coaching staff's on their last legs. They don't really have in the NFC, in their division, they don't line up personnel wise with Philadelphia or the Dallas Cowboys. Washington will not be great. Number three, the Saints, they'll be good at home, you know, because they always are. I don't know if the Saints will be great. I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but they'll be a better home team than they will be a road team. And how do I know that? Because they're always special at home. Number four, Patrick Mahomes will throw for a lot of touchdowns. Between Andy Reid's play design, Travis Kelce, good offensive line, Patrick Mahomes is special. They've got good personnel. They drafted another very good wide receiver out of college. Andy Reid knows offense. Andy Reid's made every quarterback in his career. I mean, Donovan McNabb thinks he's a Hall of Famer. You put Donovan McNabb with 90% of the coaches in the NFL, Donovan McNabb doesn't think that. So number four, guarantee Patrick Mahomes will pass for a lot of touchdowns. Number five, Andrew Luck will blame himself anytime the Colts lose. That is a guarantee. He's so humble, it's annoying. He's to the point I'm tired of him blaming himself for every loss. But he will do that, and it's a guarantee. Number six, the Browns, don't be noisy. I don't know if they'll be bad. I don't know if they'll be good. I think that'd be pretty good. But they'll be noisy. Baker, his brand, Instagram, Twitter fights, controversy. Odell Beckham has gotten rich and famous on making noise. Not on touchdowns and wins. He hasn't. He's a global superstar because of the noise, the hair, the fun, the volume. the Browns will be noisy. And my seventh guarantee, the Raiders will also be noisy. I mean, this is... I consider this for number one, but since I had two noisy teams, I put the Raiders down the list. Listen, Gruden is a television personality as a coach. Their GM's a former TV personality. Antonio Brown, again, like OBJ, kind of an NBA player in the NFL. They're moving, lame duck, and they also have kind of a dysfunctional outlaw rebel brand, which even in bad seasons makes news. And by the way, that's seven NFL guarantees. I don't have an eighth. I do not have an eighth. And Adam Humphries, good kid, chose Tennessee over that. When you make a career move, don't just consider yourself. Is the world changing? Because if there's a wave, and I watch these on Saturday mornings with a cup of coffee, grab your board and ride it. The wave of New England is not done yet. The wave for Tennessee doesn't even exist yet.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
All right, we have a breaking story. David Griffin, who essentially is the big honcho running the Pelicans, smart guy, and the Pelicans have begun listening to teams on potential Anthony Davis trades. What does that mean? That Anthony Davis and his agent, remember I said last week, why are they continuing dialogue? Just tell the Pelicans nothing has changed. Well, Anthony Davis and his agent, Rich Paul, have made it clear we're not staying here. So this is big news now. So Anthony Davis, according to Sham Sharania, who's been on this show before, they are now in the process of listening to teams. Shams is reporting that four teams that will be able to compile the best packages, Knicks, Celtics, Lakers, Nets, that's per rival executives. Now, the Lakers have better players than the Knicks do. The Knicks have better draft picks than the Lakers do, including the number three pick, which is very attractive because that could be RJ Barrett. So that's the story. Anthony Davis and Rich Paul have clearly now told the Pelicans, appreciate the dialogue. We want out. So Zion Williamson, who I think is going to be terrific, is now going to probably have a very young group of players around him. And that's where we stand. And with that, I want to bring in LeVar Ball, founder, CEO of the Big Baller Brand. Of course, dad of Lonzo, LaMelo, and LiAngelo Ball is joining us. That's interesting news, LeVar, for you. How are you, first of all?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. I always appreciate it, even though sometimes we push back at you. You always come on and answer every question.
Oh, yes.
Every single time with us. Now,
okay.
So I thought it's very interesting. There is speculation in order for the Lakers to get Anthony Davis. They don't have the draft picks of the Knicks. They don't have, I would say the Celtics have more veteran players, mm-hmm. whereas the Lakers have some very talented young players. They have two forwards who both averaged 18, Brandon mm-hmm. Kyle. They have your son, who most execs still like in this league a lot, although he's had the bruise to his ankle,
a deep bruise.
He will be ready for camp. Are you concerned at all when you hear this story that potentially Lonzo could be part of a trade package?
Well, that's part of L.A. He's one of the biggest things in L.A., so you got to make him part of the trade process on the fact that people are going to listen to that. Lonzo ain't going nowhere.
Let me just throw this out.
Yeah.
If I told you Lonzo for the next 9 years plays with Zion Williamson, is that worse than the current situation with the Lakers?
I'm not going to say no situation is worse because, like I said, Lonzo adapts to everything. Who's ever his teammate, he's going to make him good. So I'm not going to be like, oh, that wouldn't work with him and Zion. Lonzo works with everybody. You just got to give him a chance and let him do his thing.
Lonzo was the only Laker player that LeBron put on one of his shows, one of his productions, The Shop.
Mm-hmm.
I took that as a sign that LeBron was telling people, this is the one teammate I connect with. I like this kid. What did you make of him putting Lonzo on The Shop?
Well, you got to put him on The Shop. You put anybody else on there, they're not going to watch that. They're going to watch The Shop just because Lonzo is who he is. He's the only guy in the NBA with his own brand.
No, that's not true.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
LeBron doesn't have his own brand.
LeBron don't have his own brand? What brand is LeBron? Nike is not his brand.
LeBron
that's Nike. That's Nike. That's not his own brand. Lonzo has his own brand. Triple B's is his.
Well,
that's
but
what
Triple
I mean by
B,
own brand.
He that Triple B has gone through some well publicized difficulties. That, so right now that
don't mean nothing. I mean difficulties of, as in what?
As in you, somebody that you perceived as a friend.
Okay, stole some money. So what? That happens in every business. Same thing as Steve Jobs. They took more money than that in his business.
Well, but Apple,
I'm just saying it happens on a large scale on any business. This is something that always happens. It's not a big deal.
Okay, you came on, I think it was Undisputed, we have a tape. Many of your claims, which people say, Colin, LeVar is just blowing smoke. And I always say with you, A, you've done a good job with your kids. I mean, they all got offers to UCLA. And B, you're often very accurate. You remind me of Jose Canseco, who nobody wanted to listen to. And years later, we went, oh, Jose was writing all the steroid stuff. So you said this on Undisputed. I want to play this.
Magic, I think, is from my point of view now, listening to him talk and stuff like that, it's just a face. I don't think his say-so is like his say-so.
Really?
I know it's not, because he told me some things that I thought that should have been done. That's nothing.
Okay. Then who is in charge?
No, I'm trying to figure out who's in charge. That's why the system is crumbling down for, I don't know what's going on over there.
Okay, that, by the way, when you said that, you got a little pushback. That's probably the most accurate prediction of what has happened. It has crumbled down. A, were you shocked that Magic quit?
No. I'm not shocked at what anybody does. Like I said, like I told other people, the only thing I'm shocked about is if my wife leaves me. That's the only thing that can shock me in this world.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm not shocked by anything.
Did you understand why Magic left?
I don't even understand why he left. Like I said, you can tell people when an earthquake is going to come, when the weather's going to change, but you don't know what's going on in somebody's mind. They could flip on you in a minute. And you'd be like, wow, I never thought that would happen. So I never put it past anybody's mindset to do anything that's different.
Who today is running the Lakers, LeVar?
Who today is right now, nobody's really running the Lakers. They have no clue what's going on. Because when you got a lot of people in the building, everybody has a voice, there's no certainty in it where somebody has the bottom line. Because let's say Jeannie Buss is at the top. She makes the final decision.
Yes.
But how's she going to make the final decision if she's sitting next to her best friend that's been friends with her for, they're not thinking business-wise?
Linda Rambis.
Yes. So basically, you're going to listen to her just because she's your friend, and it might not be the right decision. That's why they say usually the bad guy in the room is usually a bad guy. Ain't no bad woman. It's a bad guy because he don't have no feelings, and that's how this business is supposed to be ran. You can't do it on feelings.
Doesn't Lonzo there? So you're acknowledging uncertainty with the Lakers. Why would Lonzo want to be part of that?
Lonzo
why
would be part of, like I said, the only thing that I saw that was crutching Lonzo was Luke Walton. You know, even Magic had the right thing to say my boy is the face of the Lakers.
Well, no, LeBron's the face.
Well, listen, what I'm telling you. Magic had said that before LeBron even got there.
Yeah, before LeBron got
okay,
there.
Okay, you could say LeBron's the face, but LeBron is getting old. That face is gone. Believe it or not, he's on his way out. So the best thing to do is hook up with this youngster that can play this game and has the same IQ. Lonzo is a talent and a player that LeBron has never had as a teammate, which is a guy who's invested in winning and don't have all these other things on the outside looking in. What I mean by that, the fancy cars, the women, the nightlife. Lonzo's just about winning, quiet, rapping, running, and doing his thing, playing basketball. You can see that Lonzo's not faking by like, oh, he doesn't really like basketball. He's just in it for the money.
Okay. So if the Lakers do not land Anthony Davis because they don't have enough assets, they get outbid. Jimmy Butler appears. He's going to be offered a max deal by the Sixers. Hard for a player to not take $40 million guaranteed.
Right.
I don't think Clay's coming here. I don't think KD's coming here. I don't think Kawhi's coming here. I don't think Kyrie's coming. I think the Lakers planted that to remain relevant. If they don't land anybody, LeVar, and it's just the same guys, there's a story today that LeBron may say, I'm out of here. Do you believe that?
LeBron's not going nowhere.
How do you know that?
I know that because it's L.A. They love the way this weather is. They love the next step in his life. Space Jam, movies, all this plays into effect when you come to L.A. You can't go anywhere else. It's not about him playing for the money now. It's about him, even his son. They like California. The buzz they're getting around here now is he loves this. So he's not going nowhere.
who do you think they land?
They don't have to land anybody.
Well, they're not going to win a championship.
Well, here's the thing. You can win a championship with this team, but you have to start off by making all these youngsters that you try to throw under the table believe that you can win with this group. They got the skills to win.
Could I make the argument last year that, and I did credit, I love LeBron, but I said last year, I didn't think he had a great leadership year. I didn't think he put his arms around young players, and young players need love. They, right. You know, you come into this league, you're 19, you get a lot thrown at you, you need a little love.
But here's the thing too. This is what, LeBron was supposed to play a lot of minutes and be winning. Luke didn't play him the right way. It was on this savior thing, talking about, oh, I want to save him for the playoffs. I want to save him for this. Why are you trying to save somebody if you're not there yet? How about we play leaving me in for three straight quarters, him and Lonzo, and let them just win and do what they do, and then take them out the last quarters if they're winning by a lot.
By the way, it should be noted, LeBron and Lonzo, the plus minus of the Lakers was at its very highest when LeBron and Lonzo did play.
Yes, and that's why I was thinking, why would you get LeBron and don't play him with Lonzo the whole game? Until you win. I'm paying the guy all this money. He's playing the whole game.
If Lonzo is the player that you believe he is.
Yes.
Why would I not demand Lonzo Ball if you want Anthony Davis?
You don't have to put that out there and demand it on the fact that some people may get a little bit in their feelings. Like he only likes him. He favors him. And that's when you start... I'm putting different mixes in your group.
If I'm David Griffin, and you give me a number four picker, Lonzo, I'm choosing Lonzo.
Right.
What if the Lakers have no choice but to land Anthony Davis? You have to give Lonzo up. He's simply the best arguable asset.
But you got to look at that and say, even if you get the best player, who's going to lead you? LeBron ain't going to play point. Who's going to be willing to give that ball up? It's just like people was telling me the other day. They said, well, you know, Lonzo is not going to be the primary ball handler. I said, well, you got to look at my son differently on the fact that he don't handle the ball. He get rid of it so quick, get down the court. Give him the ball. Let him take his strides and either make a layup or kick that ball ahead where you can make an easy layup or easy jump shot.
What do you make of Frank Vogel as the new coach of your son in the Lakers?
Frank Vogel, I like what he says, but everybody can be good on the first date. Like they say, everything you want to hear. Oh, I love you. You're so good. You're my soulmate. Same thing. I like what Frank is saying right now. It's like, I like Lonzo. He's putting a point out there where he's not saying, most people was talk about their veteran guards. Like, oh, I got to, well, at least I have Rondo to kind of mentor Lonzo. And he didn't say nothing like that. He was just like, hey, I like Lonzo. I'm letting you guys know right now. So ain't no friction. Be like, well, get him out of here. Because what the media wants to do is say, why you want to deal with Lonzo and you got to deal with his daddy?
By the way, you were quieter this year.
No.
Did Magic tell you not to talk?
Can't nobody tell. Jesus can't tell me not to talk.
Oh, well, I think he could.
No, he can't. I'm still talking.
I think the
guy
upstairs.
And when I get up there, I'm going to holler at him again.
I think he's
got it. So I'm just trying to tell you, ain't nobody tell me not. If I'm a businessman, I have to do business. I got two other sons I got to deal with. Lonzo was in the NBA. My goal is to get all three of my boys in the NBA. So I still got work to do. But I'm knocking on the door. I'm right there.
Do you have any relationship with LeBron?
I don't have a relationship with LeBron. See, here's the thing. Somebody asked me a question back in the day, and they said, do you think LeBron's son is going to be good? And I was like, well, most superstar sons are not good.
That's true.
And then people turn that around like, oh, he's talking about your family, LeVar. I said, no, you asked me a question. I gave you an opinion. So now LeBron comes at me defensively saying, keep my family out of your mouth. And I'm like, wait a minute. Can't nobody tell me what to say? So then I get defensive towards him. But I have nothing against LeBron. He's been my son's favorite player. I like the guy on the fact that he's big and strong, young, and played the game the right way, doing everything.
He does.
Yeah, so I never had no beef against him. And the media tries to make it sound like I told him, my son's going to be the first ones, this billionaire's playing ball. And they was like, oh, LeBron, he's talking about he's going to beat you to making billions. I hope we have a race to see which one of us as black men make it to $1 billion.
All right, season 4 of Ball and the Family, available now on Facebook Watch. You always answer the questions. You have been remarkably accurate with some of your predictions. You said Luke wouldn't last. You said Magic wasn't really running it. I think your opinion now on what's happening, I don't think they've synthesized Magic. I agree. The organization, I think there's issues. I'm interested on this Pelican story, though, LeVar, about they are now shopping Anthony Davis. So I wish you and your family the best. You're always welcome here.
Thank you.
You know, you were behaved very well today. Joy, do you have anything you'd like to press him on?
Hey, LeVar,
I behave all the time.
It's good to see you.
Yes,
it's good to see you guys.
Anyway.
Definitely good to see you. I'll see you once in a blue moon. So.
Season 4, Ball in the Family, available now on Facebook Watch. Thank you for coming by the show.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.